Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. Steve Caldwell here. Let's start by recognizing someone who's doing something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Today I've got to tell you what really makes me feel so good is when people join me on a live webinar and they comment how much they learned during the live webinar. And I just have so much fun doing those things because I try to give plenty of content that you can actually take actions from immediately the next day when you go to work. So if you haven't signed up for one of my live webinars, there's a link underneath the post here in the podcast, and you can easily just click there and go and register for one of our next webinars. I hope that you'll join me. I look forward to providing great content for you, and it just makes me feel good. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo podcast, Steve Caldwell, and I am so thrilled today to introduce our special guest to you. Our special guest today is Lieutenant General retired Frank Kearney III. Now, General Kearney had an incredible 35 and a half year service in the U.S. Army. He retired in January of 2012. And he had numerous responsibilities, including being the Deputy Director for Strategic Operational Planning at the National Counterterrorism Center in Washington, D.C. And General, I want to tell you, thank you so much already for your service, and we appreciate you protecting us and serving your country all of these years.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It's an honor to take care of the sons and daughters of America who actually do all the work for us out there, and I'm happy to be on your show with you.
Well, we're honored that you did serve us, and we thank you for being willing to serve for your career in such a valuable capacity. Now, let me share a few other things with our listening audience about you. You currently, on your own consulting firm, Inside Solutions, LLC, and you work routinely with the Thayer Leader Development Group at the Thayer Hotel at West Point, New York. I want our audience to know that General Kearney serves as the chairman of the advisory board for the Team Red, White, and Blue, a nonprofit that helps reintegrate wounded warriors, particularly those with traumatic brain injuries. And in addition to that, he currently serves as a member of the Threat Reduction Advisory Committee to the Secretary of Defense. General Kearney served combat tours in Grenada, Panama, Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And in particular, we're going to discuss some of this today, but one of the things I want you to know is that he served as Deputy Combatant Commander for the U.S. Operations Command and supervised 62,000 people and made sure they were properly trained and equipped for their special operations missions. He's won various military awards, including one for the U.S. Army War College Strategy Research Project called The Impact of Leaders on Organizational Culture, a 75th Ranger Regiment case study. He's highly sought after for speaking, and I am just so honored, and I know all of us are honored, General Kearney, to have you today and hear your thoughts on leadership. So welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Great to be here with you, Steve. Thanks.
Well, it's our pleasure, and if you don't mind, share with us before we get off into your thoughts on leadership, what type of fun project or thing you've been working on lately. Just share that with us if you don't mind.
Absolutely, Steve. One of the things I'm working on right now and have been probably for the last 6 months, but it's really relevant to what's going on in the world today. I work with a group called the Iran Project, which is a nonpartisan group of members of former State Department ambassadors, military leaders, business leaders, who are trying to make sure that there is a wide open dialogue about the costs and benefits of either a diplomatic solution or a military solution to the Iranian nuclear issue. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time talking about that. Just had a great opportunity to go up and talk with Michael Bloomberg on Bloomberg Radio about that. So pretty neat opportunity.
Well, that's awesome. And once again, you're serving all of us. It's pretty incredible. Well, General Kearney, I want to start by I know you've had tremendous leadership experiences, and I want to just have you put this question right out of the in the beginning. I know some people are confused sometimes about they think that there's a huge difference between business and military leadership, and I happen to believe that's not true at all. So if you don't mind, would you share with us your opinion about that?
You know, Steve, I agree with you 100%. You know, there are some unique circumstances in which the military leader operates as opposed to people in business, but we really all still do the same things. We all have goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve, whether for the military it's national defense security objectives, or whether for a company, corporation, or a small business it's maintaining your employees, keeping the business moving, gaining a larger share of your market. But all of it comes down to having disciplined processes in your organization, getting out and being in touch with the people that you hire and lead, and then the opportunity to move forward on that and communicate in a very, very clear, concise manner so you can achieve the objectives that you want out there. So I think there's amazing parallels. I think often many of business leaders think that the military is very regimented and that people follow orders straight down from the top, when in fact we're very much decentralized in execution because of the broad global scope of what we do. And just like business, we expect leaders at every level to show innovation, to exercise ingenuity inside of their scope of responsibility, and move forward to do things in their organization.
Well said. I think that's a great description of the similarities. And the reality is, in the military, just like in corporate America, you have many, many different parties that it doesn't matter if you're a general, you still have other parties that you have to report to yourself and to support and to convince that, you know, you're on the right path. And so it's really not that much different, is it?
No, and in fact, you know, we have an acronym in the military we call PMISI, and that's political, military, economic, social, informational, and infrastructural. And that's what we describe as the integrated operational environment that we work in. Mm-hmm. So we have partners in government that, just like any other enterprise, and we're all interdependent on each other and have to be able to share information, convince each other that what we're doing is the right thing to contribute to the overall common shared vision of where we're going.
Awesome. Awesome. Great description. Now, one of the things that I'd like to get your take on, I happen to believe that in every organization, that if you're going to build a strong organization, you have to have a strong team. You have to have people that can do their job. What's your opinion about the importance of each team member on your team?
I think teamwork for us in the military, and I think in any organization, is critical. And the most important piece of teamwork is to build a relationship that engenders trust, because trust really is the leaven that binds us all together and allows us to be agile in the marketplace or agile on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. If you know the people you work with, you understand the interdependencies of your organization, and you can move forward as a team, then you can accomplish a lot quickly get to market faster with a new product, recognize what's going on in the integrated environment out there much more quickly, and share information in a more transparent way. Trust really makes that happen, and that's the core of what we try to build in the military, and I think it's the same in business.
Yeah, I agree with you that it is, and I know we have a number of young managers, young leaders just starting out. What would be your advice to them to begin to take some steps on building trust within their team? What are some things that you would say, hey, I want you to just think about doing these things? What would they be?
Well, the first thing I think is to lay out your expectations. One of the things we teach in the military is what we call a leader philosophy. Mm-hmm. So me as a leader, I ought to be able to tell people, hey, here's how I do business. Here's what I think's important. Here's what I expect of you, and here's what you can expect of me. Mm-hmm. So we compress that storm, the form, storm, norm, perform, adjourn kind of cycle by having analyzed ourselves, done some introspection, figure out who we are as leaders, and then lay out for people where we're going, what your expectations of them are, and what they should have of you. And then as you move forward through different situations, you're able to watch that happen and see that people walk the talk, and they don't just say things. They are actually the leader that they told you they would be, and then trust grows and we move forward more quickly. So I think it's important for folks to understand who they are as a leader, how they fit into their organization, and then lay out for the people they work with expectations of each other, so back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And you know, I tell people that I talk about analyzing yourself and analyzing your team quite a bit, but when you analyze yourself, what, in your view, what are the top two or three things that you believe you get out of really analyzing yourself and your tendencies? How do you think that benefits you as a leader and before you've even built that trust with everybody else?
I think it helps you understand the impact you're going to have on other folks. I personally am an open, aggressive, direct leader. Mm-hmm. I need to tell people that. Mm-hmm. So they understand that when they meet me, they're gonna feel that directness, they're gonna hear clarity, and they aren't taken aback by that. The other things people need to understand is where you are not as strong and where you need people to help you out. You know, as a leader in the military, all the time we are placed in situations where there are ethical challenges. So one of the things I would always tell my team is, hey guys, I'm human like anybody else. We collectively need to make sure that we are talking to each other about the vulnerabilities that we have out there, what people are trying to do, so we can keep the team straight. Because if I fail, all of you, because you're part of the brand and part of the organization, sadly, you suffer along with me. So knowing our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, sharing them with people so that we can be a better whole is clearly important. And I think that's what you get out of introspection and taking a look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And in having the transparency and the confidence and the courage, in many cases, to share that with people so that you can move forward together and become a better team.
Well, you know, Frank, I think a lot of people, frankly, are not comfortable really, at least initially, whenever they're in management and leadership positions, they're really not comfortable being vulnerable. And yet that vulnerability is what makes you human and what makes people connect with you and makes people like and trust you, isn't it?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. People want to see the human qualities in you that they feel in themselves. They want to know that you're a leader who's got a soft touch when the soft touch is required, that you can be strong when strength is required, that you have empathy and sympathy when things are required, and that when you have made an error in judgment, that you take ownership of that so that everybody recognizes that, and you model the correct behavior. And one of the great things leaders do for the team is to model that kind of behavior so mm-hmm. that they understand that it's okay to be transparent. mm-hmm. and that you're not going to read about this in your quarterly efficiency report. So it's critical for leaders, just very critical.
Yeah, it is. And the one difference I would tell you already between corporate and the military is you're going to do it quarterly, and too many companies don't do anything except an annual review, and then they surprise the heck out of the employee because the leader has never communicated at any point in time where they were. So when you start talking about being straight with people, tell us your secret for doing that. How do you really talk straight to people and get them set that proper expectation? What are some things you've learned that have helped you?
Yeah, but the first thing comes down is in that initial handshake with an organization, which mm-hmm. I call the leader philosophy or the organizational philosophy. You kind of tell them that's what you're going to do. You're going to have good, clear back and forth on what's going on. A couple of things that I've found very, very helpful is to institutionalize feedback processes so that they don't occur episodically when something's gone wrong, and the only time you really have a one-on-one with someone is when they haven't performed to the standard you want. Mm-hmm. In the Army, we've got a technique that's called the after-action review. Mm-hmm. And so it simply says, what were we going to do? What did we do? Why did that happen? What did we learn from it? What did we do well? What did we need to work on? Which really is the same thing you would want to do with someone in counseling or in helping them develop as a leader. So I think laying out expectations when we're working on projects and doing that things, and then have periodic reviews in there at key points in time where we can then focus on a process and an end state and not necessarily the individual, but the individual is the one who actually gets the feedback from that in a very open, transparent way where we have candidness occur in the organization. So systematizing feedback systems takes the personal threat out of them, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll tell you some of the excuses that I hear. I hear people say, well, we just don't have time to do that. We're too busy. And what would you suggest to those individuals that would say that type of thing?
Well, I mean, I'd just turn that right over on them and go, you don't have time not to do that. If you are a learning organization and you want to make sure how you are doing things well and how you are doing things not as well as you had expected, then you have to take them apart, unpack what has occurred, take a look at it in a critical and creative way and say, how can we do better on this? What do we do right or wrong? You know, when you have an accidental success, you set the bar for the future mighty high. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that you have been successful because the leaders have done what it is they were required to do, their subordinates have done, the plan was followed, and that you just didn't stumble onto something and have a great success and learn the wrong lesson from it.
Oh, absolutely.
Too often we only take apart our failures. So we need to make sure we look at this holistically on a systematic, routine basis.
I love your description of we had an accidental success. I used to call it when you had one of those accidental successes, it was like the bluebird of happiness flew over and gave you a great big gift. And I happen to believe the same thing as you do, that we have to examine it each and every time, both successes and failures. Now, one of the challenges that I hear from leaders once they begin to do this, it's really an eye-opening experience when they've never done it, because all of a sudden now they're getting feedback that is really directly reflective on their leadership capability, and it shows them areas that they perform. Now, I know you have seen that exact same thing, but how does that make you better the next time? How whenever you go in and you invest your time and you do the feedback mechanisms that you're talking about, how does that make you as the leader better, not just your team, not just your people?
Well, the first thing you find out is if you go in and model the correct behavior first off and say, you know, here's the way I saw things, here's what I thought, here's where I failed, you will set the tone for transparency in the organization. And that transparency, hopefully, and very often will allow your subordinate leaders and the rest of your team to give you good, candid feedback. Mm-hmm. That's going to improve the clarity of your communication. That's going to improve the relationship and the trust that you have with the folks so that they watch you change and react to their feedback. It gives you a great opportunity to listen and hear what they have to say and take some of that feedback, put it into action right now. And boy, you have built confidence in the subordinates that when they have a conversation with the senior leadership, that they listen, that they're going to move forward, and they can do, and they will take their suggestions and put it to work. And what's that going to do for the rest of the organization when the drumbeat of the organization says, hey, the boss listens, let's give them some good ideas? You're going to have all kind of spontaneous second and third order positive effects that you didn't expect, where people are suggesting things, they're doing things, they're adding things back into the equation. All of that is synergistic. It builds on itself. So, you know, for a leader, that's just great. You are enhancing your skill set mm-hmm. and getting an opportunity to improve the product and the brand of the organization.
Yeah, that, I love it. Thank you for giving us your opinion on that. Now, you mentioned communication and how important communication is. So if you don't mind, would you give us your thoughts about what's effective communication, and maybe give us some examples of where maybe we're misguided about communication? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think clarity of communications is a challenge in every organization. It doesn't matter whether you're a well-oiled machine or you're, you know, an old jalopy. You still have communication problems in there, and you can improve that. One of the things that I think is extremely important in communication is to remember that communications has three parts.
Okay.
There's a message from sender to receiver. There's a mental processing by the receiver. They should reflect back what they heard to the sender, and then the sender has an opportunity to clarify and adjust that communication.
Okay.
Today in the world, we don't do much of that. We do a lot of texting. We do a lot of email communication, and we make a lot of assumptions that people understood what we said, they're acting on what we said, and they got it right, and they understand the limits of their authority. We in the military and in my life, I do this in my family now, we call that a brief back. And so all the time in the military, when we give instructions or we're working on a project, the way we communicate initially is we lay that out, and then we ask the team to give us a brief back on what they heard. And you can do that whether you have a collective group and have each of them give back different parts of the message, and then you're able to adjust. You eliminate dissonance in the message immediately, and you also repeat it. So people hear the communications multiple times and kind of have that repetition that helps us retain a lot better in there. So that's just one small piece of communication that I've found works extraordinarily well personally, and then collectively in the organization. And again, these are things you can institutionalize so that people don't go, well, boss, did you not think I understood that? No, you're an extraordinarily intelligent person. I wasn't trying to insult you, but you know, as we brief this back and have that three parts of communication, everybody learns and listens, and we walk away understanding better.
Yeah, the entire dialogue gets enriched and enhanced as it goes back and forth between people, doesn't it?
It really does, and again, I think people make a lot of assumptions with email. I do this with most of the groups I talk to. I say, how many assumptions are you making when you send an email? Now, the first one is it's not in the spam bin. Number two, the person got it and read it. Number three, they understood it. Number four, they're acting on it. And number five, you know, you agree with what they're doing. Those are pretty bold assumptions about one-way communications, but I think we've moved that way because email and texting are so easy to just fire and forget and not close the communications loop.
Yeah, it is a pet peeve of mine, Frank, with all of the dependence on email. I actually have consulted with a lot of firms, but one firm I was working with had so much dependence on email. I mean, everything they did was email, and they were copying everybody on it. And I was like, I don't understand how you guys get anything accomplished, because nobody knows in reality whether anybody's doing anything or not doing anything. Because if you copy everybody, what does everybody look at? Oh, that doesn't apply to me. And they disregard it. It's just right. A horrible, horrible way to depend on your business. And yet managers will tell me, well, instead of my one-on-one, I emailed them what I thought they ought to work on. Okay. Not good, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, that's the same way you feel when you call up your bank and you get the answering machine that asks you 40 questions before you get to a person to help solve the problem. The personal touch is important in leadership, especially when you're sending bad news. One of the things that leaders have to step up to the plate to is make sure that they deliver news that is bad or news that is challenging or news that doesn't want to be heard in person, and they accept responsibility for that. They don't just pass that down the line or send it by a very clinical method like email or text or some other way. I mean, the personal touch really is what, again, enhances that trust and brings us all together, and it allows you to really grow your organization and do some things. And so, just as you have said, I don't really like the blast and reply to all business. Although inside of that, sometimes there's some curious communication that would cause alarm.
That's so true. I like the way you described it. Curious communication. It makes you kind of go, really? I get it. That's awesome. General Kearney, one of the things that I like to do is I always want to really provide a clear thought process for young leaders that are coming on board, and they're really striving to do better. And you had a great and wonderful, successful career. If you were you were one of those young guys that's starting over now, and you're a man, you're a woman, you got a team, you're trying to really learn how to lead people. What would be the top three things or more, whatever is on your mind, but what are the top little tips that you would get them to start thinking about to prepare themselves for success?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the first thing that I always tell folks is that I loved what I did. And so, I was a soldier and I was with other soldiers. And then even as I moved up a line, I stayed in touch with soldiers. I liked what I do. I like to come to work every day. If you don't like what you're doing, regardless of the amount of the paycheck, and there's no intrinsic reward in it, you should open the aperture and see if there's something that will really satisfy you as a person, because you're not going to realize all your potential doing things. The second thing that I would say is leave your baggage at the door. The world will fill you up with what people in the organization are like, what different institutions are like. Open your mind and open your sensors and go in and experience things for yourself, and leave what you have heard about other organizations, other people, and everything at the door. Because you will look through a lens as a young leader based on whatever other people have told you that you trust, who may not understand what's going on at the higher level or what's going on in a more broad sense, but they've had an experience with someone or something or an institution. So make your own judgments. Be your own censor. Get good counsel. And the last thing that I would tell all the young leaders out there is find a mentor. I firmly believe that there are three kind of categories of folks who help you. There's teachers, there's coaches, and there's mentors. And that teachers have knowledge and impart instruction, and it's normally one way with a few questions. Coaches teach you how to interact with your environment, how to prepare for your adversary, and how to operate and do things together. But mentor is an honorary title that you select. You choose mentors because you believe that the advice they give you is beneficial. You have trust with them. For many kids initially coming in, they won't have that inside of their local business pool that they work in, but they need to go back to the people who've given them great advice in life, and they need to ask them questions about things and move on. It's interesting that I have a great relationship today with my sons. I always have, but one of them is an accountant, one of them is a soldier, and so, you know, we share a lot of things, even though I'm not an expert all the time in their field, but I am someone they can talk to and bounce ideas off, and you really need that, and it's not just your peers who may have groupthink or may have, you know, what is the most current way to think. Get someone who you trust that's got some experience in life and bounce that stuff off of them. So those are the three things that I'd recommend everyone.
Those are awesome. I'm just going to summarize them real quickly. Number one, like what you do. Number two, leave your baggage at the door. Number three, find a good mentor mm-hmm. that you can work with and trust. Those are awesome, awesome suggestions. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for that wisdom and in sharing that. I know a lot of people will benefit from that. One thing as we get to the end here, I know there are going to be people, Frank, that want to get in touch with you and connect with you. Could you tell us how they could best get in touch with you?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is to go ahead and go through the Thayer Leader Development Group at West Point, New York, and it's just, you know, www.thayerleaderdevelopment.com, and you'll find me on there, and we can work through that vehicle to make contact with folks who would like to do something together or just want to talk a little bit. I'm open to a lot of different things to help young leaders move forward or young companies that are moving through leadership challenges.
And Frank, I'll make sure that we put a link in our podcast and our post so that that'll make it easy for people to go to that website. And we will absolutely do that. I want to thank you on behalf of the Manager Mojo audience. This has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your experiences in life and leadership with all of us today.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me. It's a great opportunity to give back a little bit, I hope. I've learned a lot from my experience working with the young men and women in America. And frankly, they're the best. When you look at the current generation of youngsters that we have in our military, our Department of Defense, and in our industry, they're inquisitive, they want responsibility, and they want to make a difference. And boy, I think it's a great time for America, even though a lot of folks take a look at the world and go, there's nothing to hope for. We have got a great generation that's going to carry this nation and the world to better places. So thanks again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you, and we wish you tremendous success in every endeavor, and hope you'll come back again one day soon.
No, love to. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Our guest today has been Lieutenant General Retired Frank Kearney III, an awesome experience, and I know all of us have learned today. Thanks for being a part of the Manager Mojo audience. I really appreciate it, and I'd love to hear from you. Please let me know your suggestions by emailing me at steve@managermojo.com.